Moncrief on News Talk.
Just 2 months ago, Melanie Deneen Fleming lost her husband Dylan to cancer. Before his treatment started, Dylan made a sperm deposit, the hope being that at a future point, Melanie could conceive through IVF. But Melanie has found that the HSE doesn't seem to be able to facilitate a posthumous IVF treatment. Melanie, good afternoon to you.
Good morning, or good afternoon even, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. All the time you had, been together, like you had been planning for children. That was a definite for the two of you.
Well, yeah, so we bought our home in December of 2023, and one of the things we were looking for when we were buying was to have enough room for our kids down the line. And so we had the room picked out that was going to be for our child, and we had names. We had the names later, but it was always him that I wanted to do this with. I mean, he's my husband, so that was a big thing. Once we finished all the renovations for the house, it was something we were going to try, and unfortunately it's not happened the way we had imagined it. So
yeah, indeed. But before the treatment started, had it been Dylan's idea to because obviously the treatment often renders people infertile, so was it his idea that we'll bank some sperm there and look at IVF later on?
His oncologist referred us to a private clinic to store the sperm and to do all of that prior to starting treatment. So when an oncologist refers you, you get different paperwork, well, additional paperwork, to basically give consent in the event of death for your partner to use the samples stored. So we did all of that. We've signed all of that paperwork, and that was all fine. So we did that in August, and he started treatment in September. And unfortunately, the treatment just didn't agree with him. He literally picked up every side effect that he could from it, and they were switching to alternative chemos to see if they'd be tolerated better, but it wasn't agreeing with him. And then kind of November time, we started talking seriously because there wasn't really an improvement. We said, will we look into doing the IVF so that you might be able to meet our baby? And we decided to do that. So I went to the GP at the start of December and asked him to refer me through the public system. And meanwhile, I scheduled my consultation with the private clinic where we had all our samples stored. The consultation was at the end of January, and unfortunately Dylan was hospitalized at that time. And so my mom ended up coming in with me, and the results were a little bit disappointing because I was 31 at the time, but my fertility and my egg count was a lot lower than expected. So it kind of became a little bit more time sensitive, even more so than we had imagined. Then we weren't kind of really sure what to do because we hadn't been told just how sick Dylan was at that point. And like, we knew it was bad, but we were still kind of, you don't want to address it in case the worst case scenario comes true. So you're still kind of trying to find every silver lining and trying to be hopeful. But so we were kind of in this limbo. And then in February, the forms for the public service came in, but Dylan was after getting significantly worse at that time. So we never got around to filling them in together. And then Dylan passed away on the 9th of March this year. a week after we got the forms in the post, or we got a reminder letter in the post, or I got a reminder letter in the post saying that we'd be removed from the public system if we hadn't sent the forms back. So I rang them to explain the situation, and they told me to fill out both my form and Dylan's form as normal and make a note at the end of Dylan's form that he was deceased. So that was the first time I had to write that down, which was it was tough. And then 2.5 weeks after I had sent those forms back, I got a call saying that unfortunately posthumous fertility is not available in the public service, that there's no protocol for a person in my situation, and that they would have to raise it nationally to see if it can be done. But to go back to my GP this coming December and ask to be referred again, and they'll send out the forms again, and hopefully they'll have answers for me. But they couldn't give me a time frame, or they couldn't even guarantee it. So, and then once I was looking into it, I realised, because we weren't told really beforehand, until you find yourself in the situation, you kind of realize how big the gap is. Like, it's a lot more restrictive than I'd imagined, because you can't go if you've already had a child, if your partner has had a child, if you're same sex, if you're single and you haven't met somebody yet, you can't use it. If you need to use a surrogate, you can't use it. So it's very restrictive. There's not many people actually eligible for it. And I'm aware it's new and it's a brilliant service, but I just think it needs to be a lot more inclusive than it is.
Yeah. What seems to me now, we did ask the Department of Health for a statement on this. And what they've come back saying is that the Act includes provisions for the regulation of posthumous assisted human reproduction. However, these provisions have not yet commenced. So it's like
that's in the private system. That's not public. That's
private. Really? Yes. So that's not in the public system at all.
No, it's not in the public system at all. So they've included it in the private system. That was brought into legislation in July 2024. So it's in the legislation, but also that's not been implemented. So privately is a hurdle as well. And, you know, it's scary because I've had my scans done and my consultation done, and like my window is quite short, and I want to have my husband's baby. I don't want to, like, I'm not having anyone else's baby. So it's very concerning, because, you know, you're in a position where you've already lost so much, and you're already having to reimagine a whole different narrative for your life, and to have this uncertainty over such a big part of it, and knowing that it's kind of outside of your control, whether it can happen or not. It's not a nice feeling to not have any control of whether you can have a child or not, unless you go to a different country, or, you know, it's a very stressful time without having to navigate all of this as well. It's a bit of a minefield at the moment, I feel. But privately, it's in the legislation, so technically I can get that done. And I have a year cooling off period anyway, so I can't do anything until at least March of next year, which is absolutely fine, because, like, I'm going for counselling and I'm trying to get my head straight so that I have the best chance of carrying a baby. But I'm just hoping that by highlighting this now, that by the time next March comes around, hopefully there'll be changes made and there won't be as much red tape or delays. But yeah, change is slow to happen, and I think it's important to highlight what a huge gap there is in the system in Ireland that yeah. way, because fertility is it's a big problem. Lots of people struggle with it, and cancer is becoming, unfortunately, more prevalent and more prevalent in people a lot younger. So, you know, people are having to store eggs and store sperm and everything prior to starting treatments. And unfortunately, like, we never thought we'd be in this situation. I mean, Dylan got diagnosed, he had just turned 32, and I was 31. We had just bought our house. We were just starting this whole new chapter, and then just a bomb went off in our lap, and you're kind of just, swimming through shrapnel.
The rest of the statement that we got just say that posthumous human reproduction is assisted human reproduction is not part of the services currently funded. There are a number of highly sensitive and complex factors associated. These would need to be fully teased out, resolved, and a firm decision agreed upon before it's decided whether, notwithstanding what is permitted in the relevant legislation, the state should fund this very distinct form of AHR treatment. So that's sadly sounds like something that might take a while, you know, the way the wheels of government grind very slowly in this regard. Is getting it done abroad, Melanie, is that an option for you?
Not really, because, I mean, the situation I'm in is cancer is very expensive. I mean, we had a new mortgage. We were in the middle of renovations. Then my husband got sick and we were trying to manage all the bills on one wage on top of all of the medical expenses. And like, it's financially not really feasible. I mean, I have enough to do one round privately and I have enough put aside to do that. But as soon as you do any fertility treatment privately, you're automatically locked out of the public system. So if I went for IVF treatment and it wasn't successful, then I still can't use the public system. Yeah. And it's 6,000, whether it's successful or not. So my hope is that because I meet a lot of the other criteria for the public system, like the age, the not having a child previously, my BMI, I meet all of these and I have all the consent paperwork signed, then my hope is that I could do the IVF through the public system first, and hopefully it works out. I'm really hoping so, but if not, then I can do the private system. So it's just kind of highlighting it now so that I have the best chance possible when the time comes to be able to fulfill all of this.
Well, let's hope that happens, Melanie, and very sorry for your loss as well. You've had a hell of a lot to deal with. That was Melanie Deneen Fleming there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.